Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Warm welcome to all of our longtime attenders, all of our first-time visitors, and all who are in between. And also a warm welcome to our friends at Littlewood Court who are watching via our live stream, and to all who are watching on our catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship all. Delighted to have you join us today. Just a few intimations at the start of our time today. First of all, a reminder that coming up on the Saturday, the 11th of May, we'll have our annual jog walk in support of Christian Aid. That's the 11th of May, a Saturday at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Kemnay Pleasure Park. Also, there'll be a Spring Fling afternoon tea featuring Roy Rhodes on the same day, Saturday, 11th of May, at 2:30 in the afternoon at the Church Center. And please speak with members of our illustrious and very friendly social committee for your ticket for that event. In a similar vein, as we know, as we heard from previous weeks, that our parish assistant, Kylie, is looking for sponsors to support Christian Aid as well, that she's either going to do the jog walk or, yes? Have you set a date? Is it going to be? Well, there's news for me right there. So instead of doing the jog walk with the rest of us, Kylie is going to be hiking slash climbing slash scampering up Loch Nagar. And the sponsorship form to support Kylie as she walks Loch Nagar in support of Christian Aid is at the back of the church. And so as you depart from the church today after worship, if you'd like to consider supporting Kylie in her adventure, that'd be most warmly appreciated. And I think she's going to be walking it with David and Judith and with Noel as well. So the four of them will be climbing Loch Nagar together. And we hope you have an enjoyable and, of course, a safe walk as well. A reminder as well that the latest editions of the Kemnay Kirk News are now available to pick up today, so please do so if that pertains to you. And an intimation on behalf of Loaves and Fishes, that they currently need volunteers to join the relief list for Loaves and Fishes. And the relief list is exactly what it sounds like, a list that covers for holidays and absences, so it would be non-regular shifts, but filling in as needed. So if you're interested and able to join the relief list for Loaves and Fishes, please speak with Suzanne Bunton at Loaves and Fishes when you see her at your convenience. Are there any other intimations we share with our church family at the start of our time? Yes, Ishbel and Muriel waving frantically at me. Yes.
Now, it's not about the Spring Fling, so you go fast. Just to let you know that we were having a shared lunch on the 3rd of June because it's going to be Kylie's last Sunday. That day, and there'll be five other young people, is that correct?
There'll be a total of three arriving, including David.
And in order for Kylie to meet up with them, and she'll have her mum and dad, we're going to have a shared supper starting at 5 o'clock. And it'd be lovely to see as many of you as could possibly manage to say farewell to our lovely Kylie. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And hello to our lovely David.
And hello to, of course, and hello to our lovely David.
Oh, goodness. I'm not going to let you live that one down, Ishbel. Oh, goodness. That's great. So, anyways, but thank you for sharing that intimation. And one other thing about Kylie as well, that since she's not here today, she's on holiday up in Thurso. And as we know, we've heard that we are saying farewell to her in a few weeks' time. And so I believe today, Sheila, there'll be a card that's available for those who wish to ascribe their signatures to it.
It's not a card, but a piece of paper which will be uploaded into a photo book. The social committee are organizing that. So
okay.
It's collecting signatures.
We are getting fancier and fancier in this church, my goodness. Okay? Okay. All right. So it will be uploaded into a photo book being prepared for Kylie. So that's quite the gesture. So, and certainly hope she's having a good time up in Thurso as well. And she'll be back, I believe, tomorrow night from holiday for the rest of her time here. So, are there any other information to share with our church family? Before, with those shared then, let us enter into worship by singing our first hymn, which is Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. And during the singing of this hymn, your offering for God's continued work will be uplifted.
Let us bring our worship to God. Let us worship. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you, our sure foundation. We praise you that when we build our lives upon you, we know that we are secure. We thank you that as we come to you, you know everything that's going on in our lives. You know the things that please us, the things that worry us, the things that make us sad, and the things that make us happy or look forward. And Lord, we thank you that we can bring all these things to you and know your peace. But Lord, we know that when you came to this earth, you didn't come just to do your will, you came to do the will of the Father. And you followed his will, even going to the cross. Lord, you suffered for us and you died for us to give us new life, life which is lived for your kingdom. And you call us to follow you. And Lord, we do come to you and we ask that you will equip us with everything that we need to be able to follow you here in this community, to help us to do your will and to glorify your name. Lord, we pray for forgiveness for when we've wandered off and done our own things, for when we have forgotten you altogether. Please do forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we ask that you will restore us close to you, to come close to you in fellowship. And may we know you amongst us here today, not just as individuals, but as your church, your body here in Kemney. And Lord, may we honour you with our worship and honour you with the way that we live our lives this coming week and the weeks and the years ahead. Lord, we thank you for giving us everything we need. We thank you for the money and the homes that we have, and we thank you for the offerings that we've been able to offer this morning. And we pray that you'll use them for your kingdom. And thank you that we can come to you and use the prayers that you have taught us to say, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, David. We continue in worship now together with singing our next hymn, The Church is Wherever God's People Are Praising.
Thank you.
We'll invite all the children here who'd like to come down and join me on the steps for our kids' time. Come on down and make your way if you'd like to come down and sit with me. Nice to see you. How are you doing today? Good. I have a question for you. And I'm going to raise my hand as well, so don't worry. Raise your hand if you've ever made a mistake before. Yes, indeed. How about the adults? If you haven't raised your hand, I'll talk to you after service and find out how you did it. I've made plenty of mistakes in my life. Have you ever felt bad for making a mistake before? You know, you wish you hadn't made it. Think, oh, if I could only just do that again and get it right. I feel that way about the mistakes I make sometimes as well. But today in church, we're learning about a very important character. Have you heard of Peter before? He's one of Jesus' followers, right? And you know what? Peter's my favorite disciple. Do you know why he's my favorite? Because Peter made a lot of mistakes as well. So he's a very relatable character to us as well. And we know, perhaps, that before Easter, Jesus was having a last meal with his disciples, and he told Peter, before tonight is through, you're going to deny that you know me three times. And Peter was shocked by this. He said, there's no way, Jesus, that I would ever deny knowing you. It's not gonna happen. And then we know that Jesus was arrested and put on trial. And when Jesus was put on trial, people asked Peter three times, hey, don't you know Jesus? And did Peter say, yes, I know him? Or did he say something else? He said something else, that's right. And he says, I do not know who that is, three times, just like Jesus said he would. And Peter was so upset and so mad at himself for the mistake that he had made that he denied even knowing Jesus. But that wasn't the end of the story, was it? Then we have the joyous news of Easter morning that Christ is risen. He appeared to his disciples and to others. And then one day, he got to have a one-on-one chat with Peter, that same fellow who had even denied knowing him. And when Peter met Jesus, he was awfully nervous, and he said, well, I wonder what Jesus is going to say to me. Is he going to be mad at me for denying him? Is he going to be angry with me? Is he going to tell me off and tell me to go away? But you know what? Jesus forgave Peter for denying him, and he simply asked Peter a very important question. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I do love you. And from that point on, Jesus and Peter had a great relationship again. And Peter was so relieved that Jesus had forgiven him. And the lesson, I think, for us from this story is that even when we make mistakes, and we all make mistakes, we've all raised our hand, if we ask God for forgiveness, if we ask God to help us do better, guess what? God will help us to become better people. So don't ever let your mistakes get the best of you. Always trust that God can and will forgive you if you ask for it. It's always there. Jesus is always there waiting to forgive us. So let's pray together. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Help us to love you more and more. Amen. Amen. So today, children are welcome to stay here with us in the sanctuary, and we'll have worship bags, and Emma has very nicely offered to help us assemble those and get those sorted. They'll be back in the back cupboard behind you, Emma. So children can stay in here instead of going through to the side room today as we carry on with worship. Go back to your parents now. Even though Peter had done a truly terrible thing, even though he had denied even knowing Jesus, after he was raised, Jesus showed Peter that there is a wideness in God's mercy. And so we sing that hymn together now. mic, please.
Thank you. Today's reading from Holy Scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. This can be found on page 1090 of our church Bibles, and I invite each of us to follow along as we hear God's word read aloud together.
When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?"
"Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you."
And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs."
Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?"
He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you."
Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep."
The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Now, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you."
Jesus said, "Feed my sheep.
I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go."
Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, that he said to him, "Follow me."
And Jesus turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the same one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?"
Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me."
Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers and sisters that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" And this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. And we know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and to him be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Now we sing our next hymn of praise, "Before the Throne of God Above."
Amen.
Let us pray. Living God, as we pause our lives to gather here for worship, as we pause our lives, as we quiet our minds to reflect together upon your word, may your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon each of our lives. May you use this time of worship, this time of preaching, this time of listening to you to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. But as we know, we just celebrated the joyous news of Easter just a couple of weeks ago. And we as Christians, rightly I think, put a great deal of importance on the events of Easter morning. The empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus stand at the very heart
without the resurrection. There is no gospel. There is no Christianity. It's really all about what happened on Easter. It's the heart of our faith. We must also remember, though, that there is more to Easter than the events of just one miraculous morning. Rather, I think it's better to think of Easter morning like we think of a stone thrown into a placid pond. What happens when you throw a large stone into water? Ripple effects, right? The stone, of course, makes the biggest single impact. Then it sends those ripples throughout the waters around it, changing the entire landscape around it. And I think that's what it's like with Easter. Christ is risen. Oh, well done. You're on it this morning. Christ risen, that's the splash of the stone, or the moving of the stone, if you prefer. But then the Gospels also record for us that Jesus appeared at least 10 other times to his disciples after he had been raised. So the experience of Easter continued. And every single one of these appearances is an affirmation of the reality that really happened on Easter. These appearances were not just mere wishful thinking by Jesus' disciples. We know from history that before and after Jesus, there were many others who claimed to be the Messiah, but who often met untimely ends. But their disciples did not go around proclaiming that any of those people had been raised from the dead, had conquered the grave. There was something different about Jesus. And as strange as they might seem to us, these appearances of the risen Jesus have what biblical scholars would call the ring of truth. In these resurrection appearances, we encounter the same Jesus who called his disciples by the seashore, who opened the eyes of the blind, who fed the multitudes, who proclaimed the coming of God's kingdom. And today our focus is on the second part of one of these 10 post-Easter appearances recorded for us in this final chapter of John's Gospel. And I know I should not play favorites when it comes to books of the Bible, but John's Gospel has got to be my favorite Gospel. The beauty of it, the simplicity of it. John's Gospel, I think, is shallow enough for a baby to wade in, but it's also deep enough for an elephant to dive into as well. It's simple and profound. It's beautiful. Now, in some ways, this 21st chapter, this last chapter, reads a bit like an epilogue to the main part of the gospel. If you have your scriptures handy, look back at chapter 20, verse 30. Chapter 20, verse 30. John writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." So there's more to the story. "But these things that you have are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ," or the Messiah, "the Son of God, and that by believing you may have everlasting life in his name." That's John's whole agenda in writing the Gospel of John right there. And to me, that sounds like a great way to conclude a gospel. What a way to finish. But there are still some loose ends to wrap up, especially with the Apostle Peter. We alluded to this in the children's talk, but back in chapter 18, we know that Peter did the very thing he swore that he would never do. He denied knowing Jesus in order to save his own skin. Because back in those days, followers of those who claimed to be a Messiah figure often met the same fate as the Messiah figure. And so by denying that he knew Jesus, Peter was looking out for himself instead of following his master. So rather than standing up for his Lord, he took the way of the coward. And in Luke's gospel, we are told that after Peter denied Jesus the third time, that he went out and he wept, but not just a couple of tears, but he wept bitterly. I think we all know from a life experience what it feels like to weep bitterly about something, and it's never an experience we care to have. But right then and there, Peter knew some of the gravity of what he had done, and so he wept bitterly. But I find it personally hard to imagine the level of frustration with himself and the shame that he felt after he had denied Jesus in this way. I would guess we all know what it feels like to disappoint someone or to let someone down or to let ourselves down even. But maybe Peter felt like what he did was on a whole other level. And when I read about Peter, when I think about the figure of Peter, when I read what Scripture tells us about him, who he was as a person, I get the impression that he would have given anything to have another chance with Jesus, so that he could tell his master how sorry he was, how much he loved him, how much he wanted to follow him. And this is part of what I think makes Peter such a human character, such a relatable character, such an everyman. Brash, headstrong, impulsive, speaks before he thinks, leaps before he looks. He is a human being in every sense of the word. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands on this, but like Peter, don't we all have things in our lives we wish we could take back, that we wish we could do over, that we wish we could do differently? I know that I certainly do. Sometimes I wish life was more like a round of golf, where you can claim a mulligan and simply try again at no cost. But life isn't like that, is it? And now, because of Easter, Peter had another chance. And all the other times when Jesus appeared to his disciples, we can assume that Peter was present, perhaps, but he never singled Peter out. He spoke to them as a group. But this time it was different. This time it was just Peter and Jesus. And, of course, John, we know, following at a distance, recording this story for posterity. So one of the, I think, oddities of our human condition is our capacity to be both excited for something and terrified of something at the same time. Have you ever felt that before? Excited for something and terrified at the same time. I think that's how Peter felt in that particular moment. He had another chance with Jesus. Hooray! But what on earth was Jesus going to say to him? And according to our text, after they had finished a breakfast prepared by Jesus on the seashore, Jesus asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" Now, in the original Greek, it's not totally clear what "these" refers to. Is it talking about the fish? Probably not. I think it most likely refers to his fellow disciples. So we can maybe read it as, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than they do? More than these ones?" And in verse 15, Peter replied with an affirmation, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." To which Jesus replied, "Feed my lambs." We are then told that twice more Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And even though we are told that he was hurt that Jesus asked him a third time, Peter still responded with an unqualified affirmation of his love for Jesus. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, the vast majority of scholars point out, rightly in my view, that this threefold questioning of Peter and his threefold affirmation of his love for Jesus is a very intentional parallel with an earlier threefold action of Peter, right? Denying Jesus three times. But this is just much more than just pleasing literature, pleasing symmetry. Rather, the threefold denial of Peter is met by threefold mercy and grace from God. Peter's threefold denial is met by Jesus' threefold mercy and grace. The chasm between Peter and God was overcome by the very one who Peter denied. And the same can be true for each of us as well. Like Peter, every single one of us here has made mistakes. We've already raised our hands to admit to as much in church today. Every single one of us has, in the words of the Apostle Paul, in the words of Scripture, fallen short of the glory of God in some way. We've all fallen short. We're all less than perfect. We've all made mistakes. But this is not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. Like Peter, God wants to meet our deepest hurts, our deepest failures with his mercy and grace. In the words of the American pastor Tim Keller, we are more sinful, we are more flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved, we are more accepted in Jesus Christ than we have ever dared to hope. I have to read that again. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe, or than we'd ever care to admit, perhaps. But at the very same time, we are more loved, we are more accepted in Jesus Christ than we have ever dared to hope. So threefold denial is met by threefold grace. But it doesn't end there even, because what does Jesus say to Peter after each time he questions him? What does he say? Feed my lambs and feed my sheep, or tend to my sheep, depends on your translation. So in John's gospel, lambs and sheep are metaphors for God's people. Earlier in the gospel of John, in chapter 10, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. And so Jesus showed mercy and grace to Peter so that he would know that he was truly forgiven, truly restored to right relationship with God, and also so that he would know that God still had a great purpose for his life. Peter had to know that his mistakes would not be the defining aspect of who he was as a person, but rather God's grace was the ultimate decider for his life. By commanding him to feed his lambs and to tend his sheep, Jesus, right then and there, effectively recommissioned Peter to be an apostle and to preach the good news of the gospel to all who would hear it. I think this is how God's grace can work in our lives as well. Our brokenness, our sin, our mistakes, our terrible burdens to bear. We may often feel like they get the best of us. They may often make us feel like we are something far less than worthy to be disciples of Jesus. And that's true. But it's not the end of the story. It's not the end of the story. Because God's grace, love, and mercy are greater than our brokenness, greater than our sin, greater than all of our mistakes. In 1 John 3, it is written, by this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our hearts before God. For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything, and he loves us. So no matter where we have been, no matter what we have done, no matter what we haven't done, only Jesus has the right to judge. Only Jesus has the right to condemn. But it is the very same Jesus who instead offers mercy and grace to begin again, again, and again. So every day of our lives, every day that we wake up, is a God-given chance to begin again. Every day of our lives is a chance to live more fully, more freely into the grace and mercy of God. Now, this doesn't mean that following Jesus will always be easy. Far from it. Like Peter, following Jesus will probably mean being led where we do not wish to go. Following Jesus does mean submitting our wills, our lives to his. It means trusting in his plans for our lives instead of trusting in our own. But because of his radical love and mercy for each of us, we know that we can surrender to him, that we can trust him in both the highs and the lows of life. At the end of his conversation with Peter, verse 19, Jesus said two simple but profound words. What did he say to Peter in verse 19? Follow me. So just as the grace and mercy of God gave Peter a new beginning, so too do we have a new beginning with Jesus. And these simple words were for Peter and they're for us as well. God has given us grace and mercy not so that we may kick back and take it easy, do nothing, but we are given God's costly grace, God's rich mercy, so that we will follow Jesus with undivided hearts. So as we live into the rest of this day, this 5th of May, 2019, as we go into the 6th of May, 2019, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, and onwards, as we live into this week, I challenge each of us, myself very much included, will we listen anew for God's voice in our lives? Will we let God's love and mercy and grace speak even into those parts of our lives that are painful, of which we feel ashamed, that we worry, can God really forgive that? Because the answer is always yes. So this week, I wonder, where will we experience God's love and mercy anew in our lives? Where will we hear Jesus calling us to follow and to trust him more? And like Peter, may we too have the courage to follow Jesus wherever, whenever, however he leads us to go. Amen. In this conversation by the seashore, Jesus restored his disciple Peter to right relationship with him. He called to Peter, follow me. He gave Peter a grand purpose and a restored vision for his life. And so our prayer in light of this is that God would give each of us a new vision of Jesus Christ for us to follow. And so we sing together our next hymn of praise, Be Thou My Vision. Thank you.
of prayers for the world. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this service and the time we've been able to spend together. We thank you for the message Joshua has brought to us from John's Gospel. Help us to understand what it is to truly love unconditionally. Father, we thank you for the freedom we have to worship in peace in our country, whenever and wherever we wish. While we may have many problems, some political, in our own country, we are aware that many nations and countries have far greater and more immediate problems than us. So as we now bring our prayers for others before you, we ask you to answer them as you will. In recent days, we've heard of another natural disaster to hit the nation of India. We pray for the families who have lost loved ones and ask you to comfort them. This cyclone has also left many thousands of people homeless, and we pray for the safety and health of those affected. We pray that they will receive sufficient help to enable them to rebuild their homes and towns. We pray for those affected by the extreme weather in Islamabad in Pakistan. Landslides and flash floods there have killed dozens of people, with many more injured. We pray for the government and local organizations who are trying to help those who've lost so much in any way they can. Lord, we bring before you again the people affected by the recent bombings in Sri Lanka. Lord, comfort aid workers, doctors, civilians, and all those who are working together to bring healing help. In our own country, we continue to pray for our government and all our politicians who have the task of leading us in uncertain times. We pray that they might seek to further the needs of the nation rather than their own political careers. We pray that they might look to you for assurance and guidance as they make important decisions almost daily. We pray that you will lead and guide them as they take long-lasting decisions in the coming weeks and months. Father, we pray for all those who are persecuted for your sake, wherever in the world. Bless them, Lord, we pray, and comfort them. We continue to pray for our friends and neighbours here in Kemeny. We pray especially for those who are going through difficult times just now, be these financial, relationships, or health-related. We pray that they might look to you for guidance. We pray again for our minister Joshua as he continues in his task to minister to the people of Kemeny and around. We thank you again for our church and pray that you will bless all activities that take place week by week. We again ask your blessing on the work with the children and young people, and we pray again for the leaders of the various groups who meet here. Accept our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you, Adam. Friends, when we have a real experience of God's grace and love in our lives, our very souls want to cry out in celebration. And so, in that spirit of faith, we now sing our closing hymn, "Tell Out My Soul."
To be
Jesus asked Peter, and he asks us, "Do you love me?" And then the call comes forward to follow Jesus in every aspect of our lives, trusting in his grace, love, and mercy towards each and every one of us. May each of us go forth from this place today in the full blessing of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May this blessing rest upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.